1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we are continuing our series of discipleship lessons, foundational things that every Christian should be aware of. We started out with level one discipleship lessons that focus primarily on just some of the very basics of our faith. Level two expanded upon that a little bit more. Level three is a little bit deeper. Now, these are for a little bit more of the mature Christian. And so this is something that every one of us should be striving for in these. I think I have like 12, I think roughly 12 lessons here in lesson three. This is lesson number six, I believe. But we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So I want you to notice this, verse number 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit." Verse 10, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues or languages, and to another the interpretation of tongues," or again, languages. "But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man," now watch this, "severally," or just as he wills, or he gives to people as he wants to. And he gives it, and he's pretty generous about these gifts, I believe. The Holy Spirit wants us to accomplish some things for the kingdom of God. Ultimately, these gifts are for the Christian to be able to help expand the kingdom of God within the kingdom of men until we all get to heaven. Amen? And so everybody here who's ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this means that God wants to use you. God didn't say, "Oh, really, she became a Christian. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. I'm going to just have her just sit in a pew and not do anything because we don't want them. I mean, she doesn't have any, there's nothing, she has no value. She doesn't have any particular gifts or any special talents or skills or abilities. Just sit in the chair." That's not true for anybody. That's just not true. Everybody has, God will give you a gift or gifts to help improve the kingdom of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we're at. And but I want to read verse 11 again. "But all these worketh that one and same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now there are reasons for this. And he goes on to explain, in fact, all of chapter 12 is kind of divided. It's all about these gifts. And actually, I would say chapter 13 is also a direct reference to these spiritual gifts as well. We're going to touch on chapter 13 in a little bit. Typically, they're not. Chapter 13 is not addressed very much, but I want to address chapter 13. But primarily, these gifts are broken down into, is broken down into three different parts. It kind of lists the gifts. It kind of gives us who gets the gifts and the purpose of these gifts. So, for example, and look at verse number 12. And the Bible says this, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." He's explaining here who gets the gifts. And the gifts are the people who are part of the church. And if you're saved, if you're a Christian, part of the thing that God wants us to do and Jesus wants us to do is to be part of a church. Because a church is a gathering of believers of like faith. And we are one body. And so even though the body has many members, we are all one. And these gifts are for the profit of that body, of that church, if you will. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, or God, there am I in the midst, God said, correct? And so it is important that we as a church, you see, we could be believers and not go to church. We could even have a relationship with God and not go to church. But you cannot serve God to your full capacity outside of church. And the reason for that is pretty simple. Because by yourself, can you imagine trying to fix your car, but you're only allowed to use the two fingers on your right hand? How successful are you going to be? You're not going to be that successful because you need the whole body. You need all the parts. You need your eyes so you can see. Right? You need your head so you can think about it. Some of you, that might be a challenge, but we won't go there. And you need both hands oftentimes. You need to be able to stand or lean over. You need to be able to use the whole body to do something. And so the church represents the whole body. And somebody who goes off by themselves, we call them a maverick. And you know what a maverick is. If you know your history, the Old West, a maverick was a cow that was unbranded. It was just roaming around doing his own thing. Wasn't part of a herd. Wasn't part of a group. It was a maverick. And so God doesn't want his people to be mavericks. He wants us all to be part of a body of believers. And this isn't so that the pastor can be dictatorial and start commanding you, telling you this is how he's going to be. I'm the boss here. I'm king. Listen to me. No, it's all of us together working for a common good and purpose of God. And so the talents and the gifts and the skills and the ability that God gives all of us matter. Everybody has a part to play. We all matter. Look what he says here. For verse number 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. And that body is Jesus Christ, which is he's the head of the church. And whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I mean, obviously that's absurd. The foot is as necessary as the hand is to get things accomplished. My dad doesn't have any thumbs. And there's certain, and it makes almost every task that involves hands more difficult. He's got to figure a way to do that. He watches other people with thumbs, and he's looking forward to getting to heaven one day and having thumbs. Because it makes things more difficult when you're missing something. And when we're missing a key, when we're missing you, it makes things more difficult to get things done for God. It just does. Because your presence, your talents, your gifts, your skills, they all contribute to the overall ability of the body to do something for God, to make a difference, and not only in our community, but in the world. Amen? It's so important that we understand this. He goes on and talks about that same thing. But in verse number 18, let's get down to verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So understand, your role is not going to be the same as somebody else's role. Everybody has a different role to play. But every one of those roles is important. And he goes on and says this, and if they were all one member, then what were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Ever hit your thumb before? With like a hammer or something? What does your whole body do? Your whole body basically goes to that thumb. Everything just focuses on your thumb. And because every, you know, it's like, you don't hit your hammer. I was working at True Green Kimlon when I was in college, and I was helping doing some tree trimming and hedge trimming. And I was with a guy, and he had one of those hedge trimmers. You know what I'm talking about, right? That they can you can kind of shape the bush. And he went, and I was watching him, and he was just going like this, and he came right down and smacked right into his thigh. And I mean, that hedge trimmer just, and he's hopping around, jumping around. He's like, and he's cussing. And then I'm feeling kind of sorry for him. And then he says, I did it again. I suddenly didn't feel very sorry for him. Come on. You did this again? You should have learned the first time. Don't do that. But every part of the body is necessary. And how much more those, verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And the uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So every person here has a part to play in the church. If we're going to make a difference, because everybody, and God puts us in different positions in the church. God gives us different skills. God gives us different gifts. God gives us different talents so that we all together have a synergetic effect to make a difference. If we just go off on our own, it's so funny to me when I'm with people and we're watching like a sports game, and the people I'm with, how they know better than the coach what should happen. I mean, they're couch quarterbacks, or what do you call them? And what's that? Armchair quarterbacks. They know what the quarterback should be doing. Why did he do that? That was dumb. He should have done this. He'd get out there, get hit one time, and he would be in the hospital. And he couldn't do that, but we're all, and so we need to be less critical of each other. Amen. Well, because we all have an important part. We need everybody. Imagine a puzzle. You have a bunch of pieces to the puzzle. Some pieces are easily understood where they go, correct? Like a corner piece. You know, it's going to be in one of four spots. Easy to figure out where the corner piece goes. Other pieces can be dark or bright or an odd shape or have many colors in it. But have you ever done this before? You got the whole puzzle done and one piece is missing. And what does your mind do? Your mind doesn't look at the beautiful picture and say, wow, it's gorgeous picture. No, you look at that one hole and say, where is that piece? And that's very much like a church. When you're not here, when you're not doing your part, there's a hole. And it's evident. It's evident because we need each other. Amen. We need people to come Saturday, go soul winning with us and give the gospel out if you're able to. We need people to step up and become teachers. We want to start Sunday school classes for the children. And we want to start teen classes for the teenagers because they're not paying attention to me right now. I'm kidding. So we want to give them somebody they're going to pay attention to. And but we need people to step up to do a lot of things. And I've watched this church already step up in so many different areas, use their skills, their talents, their abilities. I am so grateful. I really am. I'm so excited. But we have a need for a lot of things. We need people to step up who can sing, play an instrument. We need people to step up that could do. There are so many different things that we want to start. We have these bi-weekly Bible studies. We need maybe some more people who would like to lead one of those Bible studies. We need a lot of things. We need people to clean. We need people, you say, well, clean, that's not a very prestigious job. You know, the thing about cleaning is that no one notices it unless it's not done. Am I right? No one notices it unless it's not done. And they're like, what in the world? When you notice that something that's dirt has not been cleaned. But everything has a part. We need people to greet people when they come in. We need people to give out you know, visitor cards. We need people to just be friendly to people when they come in, introduce themselves, let them know who you are, and see if they need anything, like where the restrooms are and where the nursery is. And we need people to step up to do a lot of these things. We need people just to, when we have handshaking time, just to walk around and shake people's hands and give a smile. We need people to buy coloring books and crayons for the kids. We need people to decorate the church. Oh, there's so many different areas that are needed, and everybody has a place. We need people to watch Brother Jamie because he gets out of hand. And you're going to say something, brother? Needs people Saturday to bend a fence. And I need people to show up early Sunday to help set up tables and chairs and things for our day on this coming Sunday. We all have things we need to do. I mean, we all have things we can do. And so everybody here is has a part to play, and God doesn't leave anybody out when it comes to this. God gives you what you need to do what he wants you to do. Always does and always has. There are several different types of gifts that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the word of wisdom. There are people that God gives a gift of wisdom to. Others, a gift of knowledge. Some, faith. Honest truth is, sometimes faith, extraordinary faith, is a gift. A spiritual gift of God. And even how to turn off cell phones. No, it's fine. I'm just messing with you. I like doing that. And then healing. And that could be like a doctor, a nurse. That could be many things. People that can easily figure out what you can do to help your body. You know, God gave us many things in this world to help our health. Amen. And sometimes there's a gift of healing, miracles even. I've been a part of miracles. I've seen some incredible miracles take place. Discerning of spirits. That's an important one. Bible says, try the spirits. And sometimes it's a gift to be able to look at something and say, no, that's not right, or that's good. Diverse kinds of tongues or languages. Some people have a gift. Because, you know, to get the gospel to somebody who doesn't speak your language, sometimes you need to, there are people that I know that they just have a gift for languages. And sometimes I've seen miraculous things happen where people talk in English and the other person hears in their native language. And then there's people that can interpret. You know, just because you can speak a language doesn't mean you can interpret a language. That's a whole different gift. And then there's other gifts that are mentioned. If you take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. That's fine. Romans chapter 12. And verse number 6. If you look at verse number 6, the Bible says this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Notice that. Everybody here, according to the grace that's given to you, everybody, what is grace? Grace is God's provision for your insufficiencies. Where you can't do it, God gives you grace. Amen? And so according to the proportion of grace and faith that God has given you, you have the abilities and talents and skills and things and spiritual gifts to do. And he lists these other ones. So he lists prophecy, verse number 7, or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So there's a list of 7 other, I would call them categorical gifts. Because the ones we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 may fit within those categories that we read in Romans chapter 12. So there are many gifts, and God wants to give us all of the, I mean, God wants to give us gifts according to how he intends to use us. Let me see if I can put it this way. Well, first of all, what is the purpose of these gifts? What is the purpose of these gifts? Well, the Bible explains what the purpose of these gifts is. If you go to verse number 24, 1 Corinthians 12, go back to 1 Corinthians 12 now. If you look at verse number 24, now I've read a couple, some of these verses, I don't, but for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant to that part which lacketh. That, now watch this, part of the reason why these gifts are given is so that there should be no schism in the body or in the church. There's no schism. God gives us the gifts because I hate this fact. I hate this fact. But fact is, and this has been for a while now, fact is that about 90% of the work in a church is done by 10% of the people. Some of you have heard that statistic before. Shouldn't be that way. It should be that 100% of the work is done by 100% of the people. But we're always going to be growing, and there's people that are going to be constantly growing and move and learning their gifts. Some of you sitting out there, you may think, I have no idea what my spiritual gift is. I don't even know how to find what my spiritual gift is. Well, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, because God does and will and likely has given you spiritual gifts. How to find them, we'll talk about here in a bit. But one of the reasons is to benefit the church, so there's no schism in the church. There's no division in the church, so that we're all working together. Amen? We're all working together. And whether, and goes on and says here, here we go, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You notice that? The same care one for another. Like a body, when there's an injury, the rest of the body works to help that injured part, correct? And like a body, the body works together to accomplish things. Now, some of you I know struggle with walking and chewing gum at the same time. And it takes a certain talent and skill to be able to do that. But we all together got, you know, have you ever, okay, anybody here ever tried to learn how to juggle? Anybody succeed at it? No? I could do it. I can juggle it. I can. I can teach you how. I learned to juggle in 1 hour when I was 11 years old. I determined I was going to learn it. I took 1 hour, okay, maybe two. 1 or 2 hours to learn to juggle when I was about 11 years old. Pretty sure it was about an hour, though. But when I first started learning, it looked ugly. It looked ugly. And at first, I didn't know how to learn. Once I figured out how to learn, then it went quite a bit faster. But there is some, you know, coordination involved. The hands have to work together with the eye. Eye-hand coordination, correct? And so that there has to be the same care. I have to give the same attention to each hand in order to juggle correctly. And that gifts, the gifts of the hands and the eyes have to work together to accomplish that task of juggling. They say one of the hardest things to do in sports is to hit a baseball in professional sports. They if you're a 300 or you hit, you can get on base 30% of the time that you come to the plate, they consider you an amazing player. Anything else, that's failing. You go to school and you get a 30% on your test, you flunked. But baseball is a very hard thing to do. The body has to be in incredible coordination to be able to read the ball, to make eye contact. It's not just your arms. It's eyes, arms, hands, wrists, hips, legs. The whole body's involved in trying to make contact with the ball. To be able to accomplish that task, the whole body has to be in sync, has to be in care, so to speak, of one another. And that's part of what the gifts are for, so that as a body, we take care of each other. Amen? So that we can expand the kingdom of God within the kingdom of man. And whether one In fact, look at verse number 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, or the church, and members in particular. So the question is this. How do you find your spiritual gifts? Now, I know some of mine. I have the gift of teaching, I believe. I feel like I can teach pretty well. I have a gift of writing. And some of these gifts aren't particularly listed here, but they are abilities that I believe God has given me to assist the kingdom of God in expanding, to make a difference. I have a gift of study, perhaps wisdom and knowledge. I like learning things. But I'll tell you this. I believe that any one of these gifts God can give you at any time to accomplish what he's called you to do. I hear them all the time. I hear people say, I can't do what you do, Pastor. I can't get up in front of people and talk. You know, I said the same thing. In fact, I proved it when I was in high school. I had to recite a poem. And I had this poem nailed down. I had it memorized. El Dorado. Ride, bully, ride, the shade replied, in search of El Dorado. I had this thing down. I could quote it backwards, forward, inside, out, upside down. I could do this. But I got up, and when I got up, I looked at everybody looking at me. My mind just went, and I started, and I stopped, and I started, and I stopped. And then finally, I looked at the teacher, and as clear and as articulate as I possibly could, which was amazing at that moment, I said, just give me an F, and sat down. And so when God called me, or when God began to lay on my heart to preach, the pastor, I had a little argument with him. I said, God, there's two problems with this. One, I can't speak publicly. You know what happened. I tried that. It was a disaster. Two, I don't like people. It was true. At the time, I didn't care much for people. Look, I care for most all of you now. So, okay, all of you? All right, does that help? But, and I said, and so I don't like people, and a pastor is supposed to like people. But I watched God begin to give me, and once I surrendered to what God wanted me to do, God began giving me the abilities that I once lacked. And I gained the skills I once lacked. And suddenly I was able to do what God wanted me to do and do it somewhat efficiently. I'm still human. I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot of growth to do. But God gave me what I needed to do it. And that has been true throughout my entire life. Anytime there was a task that I felt God wanted me to do that I was nervous about or I was unsure about doing, I found that God gave me the gifts to accomplish it. So it's not like, okay, you got the gift of knowledge, Brother Joe, and that's it. That's the gift you get. It's all you're going to get. And then from the rest of your life, that's it. No. As he gets older, there might be another task for him that God wants him to do that might require the gift of wisdom or maybe something with tongues, languages. And so God will give you the gifts you need to accomplish it at the time. So, you know, on our website, for this lesson, I'm going to have a free download where you can do a spiritual gifts assessment where you can kind of go through and see what you can figure out what your spiritual gifts might be. It asks you, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you feel like you're this strong? And then you'll be able to figure out kind of where your spiritual gifts are. That is true. Now, I think you should do that because I think that gives you some insight of where your strengths are. And but that is true, though, for this moment. 5 years from now, 2 years from now, whenever, God may call you to a different task and give you a completely different set of gifts. Now, fortunately, I've never yet found God takes a gift back. once he gives it. Because otherwise, it's not a gift, is it? So those gifts that God gave me for other tasks, I still have them. And which means I have a responsibility to use them still. Remember the parable of the talents? He gave, not this, the whole parable is not about the gifts, not about the talents, not about the money. It's actually about the suddenness and unexpected return to their master. They need to be ready. That's what the whole point of it. But we can learn other lessons from it. And one of those lessons is that he gave 10 talents to, I mean, 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to another, according to their abilities. But by the end of the story, the one that had 5 had made 10, and they took the one from the one who didn't do anything with it and gave it to the one with 10 who now had 11. His ability had increased. His capacity had increased. Amen? So if you're not going to use it, God may have to call someone else to do what he wanted you to do if you're not going to use what God did give you. So important. So how do we do that? How do we find what our spiritual gifts are? There's 3 things you can do. 3 things. You ready for these? Number 1, have a walk with God. And the truth is, if you're not being led of the Spirit, if you're not, if you're not in a position where God can use you, then God won't use you. Even if God has given you gifts and abilities, if you're not in a position, if you're not showing up to use them, God can't use that. So you may not even know what you have because you're not made yourself available to be used. Now, I know we're all busy. But we all need to make ourselves available for God to use us, because that's what's going to matter in eternity. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, we're not going to turn there right now, but it talks about Noah. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God because Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. So he walked with God, and because he did, God gave him everything he needed to build the ark, to save his family, and to save all the animals that were come on the ark from the flood. But he walked with God. Because he walked with God, God chose him, God used him, God gave him everything he needed to accomplish that. So number 1, you got to walk with God, because when you walk with God, you'll be able to hear God. You'll have a relationship with God, and you'll be in a place that God can use. Number 2, this is a self-examination point, but where do you have a burden to do something for the Lord? Where is that? Oftentimes that burden is God telling you what he wants you to do. It's a burden. See, you start looking around and you see a need. And you say, and that need becomes important to you. It begins something that you think about, something you begin praying about, something that you begin wondering about. When that happens, that usually means God wants you to get involved in it in some way. And that means that God has given you the gifts necessary for however you're supposed to be involved in it. So as an example, about a year ago, a little over a year ago now, I began to have a burden for a small church in small towns and our country churches in the country. I was in a unique position. I wasn't pastoring at the time. I had income where I worked from home, so I could literally move anywhere, go anywhere, and my income doesn't change. And in some cases, moving, actually, the cost of living goes down substantially. I'd actually have more money if I'd have gone to some place like the middle, I don't know, Tennessee or Kentucky, possibly. I don't know. But my income wouldn't change. And I began really having a burden, because for churches that they're not very big, and there's this small town, so a lot of people don't want to go there because there's not a lot of potential. But God gave me a burden for that because I believe there's potential. So I began looking, been praying about it, talked to my wife about it, brought it up to my sons. started just discussing and talking about it, started looking. I started getting lists of churches looking for pastors because it became a burden. And suddenly God opened up all the doors and gave me everything I need to do exactly what he wanted me to do. What? I mean, 45-minute drive. That's all I have to worry about. Didn't even have to move initially. God provides what you need, but it comes with a burden. There, what is it that you see in Christianity that bothers you? Or the world, and you're like, man, I don't like that. I want to make a difference. Sometimes it might be from your own experiences. Brother Joe's mentioned, because of his experiences with addictions, he has a burden for people who suffered in addictions. He wants to help them. And I personally believe that means, Brother Joe, that at some point God wants you to get involved in that. He's going to give you exactly what you need to make it work because you have your burdens there. Has anybody, as a pastor of a church, ever asked you to do something that you didn't care anything about before? You didn't want to do it? You had no desire to do it? And Jason's like, yeah, all the time, Dad. And what happens is this, you may do it because you're asked to do it, but because your heart is not there, it was not a burden to you, you begin to dread it. And as it goes on and on and on and on, you get more tired, more weary. Do not be weary in well-doing, the Bible says, right? We shall reap if we faint not. But we go on and what happens oftentimes is you begin, and all of a sudden you dread coming to church because of that task that you have no heart into. And because you have no heart into, God probably hasn't given you any spiritual gifts in it either. And so it becomes more difficult. Now, sometimes this can happen. You can be asked to do a job and you gain a burden for the task as you do it. That does happen too. But I believe that where you have a burden, where you have a desire, through desire, man, and intermeddleth all wisdom, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs, that through desire, that burden, where is it? Your gifts probably have something to do with that area. You know, Brother Tristan, for example, saw a need one time before I even came here. They needed a song leader. And that was a burden, I'm assuming. We haven't actually talked about it, but I'm assuming that Brother Tristan's like, well, I can step up. I can do that. I want to fill that position. And God has given him the gifts of in that area to do it. He does a much better job than I do. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, no one wants me to do this thing, lead the song. But because God gives you what you need, and if it's a burden, it's something you enjoy doing, you look forward to coming to church. Amen? And not like, oh, I don't want to do this. You look forward to it. Could you imagine a pastor who gets up Sunday morning and says, oh man, I got to go and preach again? No, a pastor enjoys getting up and yelling at a bunch of people. Yeah, anyways. So number one, you walk with God. Number two, wear your burden. And number three, pay attention to the confirmation that you get from others. You know, other people can see where your talents are. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He talks about the body's many members. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may be prophesied. So, I skipped a point here. I didn't skip a point, but I'm running out of time. That's the problem. The burden. Let's go back to that real quick, and then I'll get to this. Go back to the burden part. At the very end of chapter 12, it says this. It says, where is it? Verse number 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto a more excellent way. A more excellent way. What? An excellent way. He says, you need these gifts, but let me give you a better way. And he says, the better way is all of chapter 13. If you look at chapter 13, just the beginning of it, he says, as though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing. You have all these gifts, but if you don't have the love, if you don't have, that's what charity is here. If you don't have the right love, that burden, that right care, that love, you, it's nothing. That's nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Nothing. And the Bible says the spiritual gifts are to profit a man. And if you don't have love, if you don't have the right charity, if you don't have that to begin with, that's part of the burden. Your love for God will give you a burden. Your love for others will give you a burden for them. Amen? And it's got to start there. Now, but pay attention to others. Pay attention to others, the confirmation of others. Proverbs 18:16 says this, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And we see in a variety of places in 1 Corinthians, this idea that that you're not alone in this. We already talked about that. And people can see if you show up and you start doing things, your gifts kind of come out. And people can kind of see that. People will. And so listen to the confirmation of others. If you're involved, you say, I don't know what to do. Do something. What are you interested in doing? Come talk to me about it. I don't see Tyler here today. But Tyler came to me on Sunday morning and he said, I have a great idea. He goes, I think I should preach a sermon. He's never preached before in his life. He has no idea what he's doing or talking about. He doesn't. But I think it's a great idea because he has a burden for it. There's a desire there. You never want to squelch a desire. So we've picked a day on December 8th on our afternoon service. Both Tyler and DeMond are going to preach in the afternoon service about 15 minutes each. Because who knows? This may lead into something much greater for Tyler. So, but he's only 19 years old, right? He's 19, 18, 19. He's only 19 years old. Yeah. Well, it's got to start someplace. And when God puts something on your heart to do, we don't want to squelch that. And the first sermon I ever preached was a disaster. It was a disaster. I had no idea what I was doing. It was a disaster. And whether Tyler is going to be a disaster or not doesn't make a difference, because what's going to happen is if he does it and one person is helped by something he says, God will continue to give him what he needs to improve. Hey, who knows? We may be looking at the next pastor of First Baptist Church one day. I don't know. Everybody's thinking, Tyler. But if you'd have seen me at 19, you'd have said, Greg. You never know. You never know. You just never know. So where is your desire? And listen for other people. Amen.